Please stand by as we're about to begin. Good day and welcome to the Latino Decisions Environmental Election Poll Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Felipe Benitez. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Amy. Good afternoon, in the East Coast. Good morning in the West Coast. My name is Felipe Benitez. I'm principal at the Strategist. This is a press call to discuss environmental and climate change findings from the American Election Eve poll conducted by Latino Decisions. Latino Decisions is the nation's premier political insights firm specializing in political opinion research focused on Latinos. This poll was conducted on the eve of Tuesday's midterm election. We're joined by four great Mark Magana, founding president and CEO of Green Latinos, Dr. Edward Vargas, from senior analyst from Latino Decision, Yoka Arditi Rose, executive director of the CLIO Institute, and Melissa Vargas, project manager, political affairs at the Environmental Defense Fund. We'll provide spelling as we present each one of those speakers. A couple of items. Dr. Vargas will be presenting a slide deck that can be viewed via the webinar link that we provided in the advisory. But if any chance you need it at this time and you don't have access to that webinar, you can please call, send an email to Chelsea Mervin. Her email is chelsea@venitastrategies.com. Let me spell that, chelsea@venitastrategies. Venita Strategies is VSMBOY, ENITEZ, strategies.com, benitastrategies.com. After the speakers participate, we will hold a Q&A session that will, the operator, Amy, will be able to provide some instructions. And also a recording of this webinar press call will be available at the, as well as the findings at the Latino Decisions website. So let's get started. We will begin with Mark Magana. Let me provide spelling for that. Mark, M-A-R-K, Magana, M-A-G-A-N, or Ñe in Spanish, A, M-A-G-A-N-A, founding president and CEO of Green Latinos, the premier national network of Latino environmental and conservation advocates. Mark, please go ahead.
Thank you, Felipe, and thanks, everyone, for joining us on this call. Thanks, Felipe, for your huge environmental and conservation corazón. Thanks to Latino Decisions for all their hard work on this poll and on their commitment to environmental research over all these years. And thanks to EDF for inviting me to participate on this call today. I'm also proud to be on this call with Yoka Arditi Rocha, a true leader who, through her work at the CLIO Institute and with frontline communities, has been able to build climate literacy, highlighting the urgency of climate action and championing solutions for a resilient future. As you can see on the screen, Green Latinos is a national network of Latino environmental and conservation advocates. Our members are individual Latinos in the various sectors of the environmental and conservation movement. It was almost exactly 2 years ago today when we released our 2016 post-election poll along with Sierra Club. And on that, I mentioned how the poll supported what we have been saying all along, that Latinos are cultural conservationists, that our communities long held understanding that we are all stewards of the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the earth we live and grow on is not based on a book we read or a movie we saw or a tweet we read or even our membership in an organization. It is passed down from generation to generation as simply the way to live in symbiosis with respect to the earth. And that is a significant part of our proud heritage. Today, this poll shows that the majority of Latinos are already experiencing the effects of climate change. Latino communities are disproportionately affected by the harmful effects of climate change. Over the last 2 years, we've seen extreme weather events like Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico and Hurricane Harvey in Houston devastate our communities. Climate change and pollution have a more severe impact on Latino communities and the families that live there. From Latino children who are at higher risk of asthma and of dying of asthma compared to their Caucasian counterparts, to to the rising sea levels and flooding in our communities and the economic consequences that come with it. As the climate changes, our communities are on the front lines of its devastating effects, and they are happening now. Since our last election poll in 2016, as well as a previous poll we did with Earth Justice earlier that year, Latino respondents are increasingly showing that they want action to be taken by Congress to address these issues and aggressively fight against climate change. For Latino voters, tackling climate change and combating pollution are high priorities. The message is clear. Congress needs to act now. Since 2016, we've elected Latino members of Congress whose work has primarily focused on protecting the environment. Last cycle, it was Nanette Barragan from Los Angeles, where when she was on the Hermosa Beach City Council, she led efforts to block oil drilling in the small city and push through a citywide plastic bag ban. And Jimmy Gomez, who, while representing the city of Los Angeles in the California State Assembly, advanced bills to fund grants for river revitalization and fought for environmental justice and preserving our natural resources. This cycle, its member-elects, such as Xochitl Torres Small from Las Cruces, a water rights attorney who fought for conservation of water in the desert, and Mike Levin, whose mother is a Mexican-American from San Diego County, who's a clean energy advocate and environmental attorney, and who felt like he had to run because there wasn't enough discussion on climate change in the 2016 election. These are part of the new class we have coming in. And with the Democrats taking the majority, we also anticipate that the next chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee will be Raul Grijalva from Tucson, Arizona. The good news of all this is that Latinos and other communities of color don't need to be convinced. They are ready to act, to mobilize, to advocate for a better future, and to protect our Madre Tierra. Our community is committed to fight for clean air and combating climate change, to defend environmental justice and civil rights, to vigilantly protect our public lands, to work for water equity and clean transportation solutions. This election brought with it many opportunities to expand our organizing, our Green Latinos membership across sectors to work together to fight against threats to the environment, health, and welfare of our communities. And this poll supports that our community is there, our community is ready to fight, and our community is going to push back against the suffering from extreme environmental pollution and climate degradation. Felipe, thank you for this opportunity to speak with you all today, and I look forward to hearing more about the analysis of these fantastic poll results.
Thank you very much, Mark, for your important insights. Our next speaker is Dr. Edward Vargas. Spelling for his name is E-D-W-A-R-D, Vargas Villasimboy, A-R-J-A-S. He's a senior analyst at Latino Decisions who will present the main results of the poll. As I mentioned earlier, this portion of the poll has an accompanying slide deck that can be visualized through the webinar link provided in the advisory, or if you need it, please email, again, Chelsea Mervin at chelsea@venitasstrategies.com. Dr. Vargas, please go ahead.
Well, first of all, thank you all for having me. I'm really honored to be here to talk to you all about the findings from this poll. Now, in this American Election Eve poll, we have been concerned about the increasingly inaccuracy of representation of all voters in districts and states, particularly of Latinos in majority-minority communities. And so since 2010, we have been working with partners to provide more accurate data on how minority and immigrant communities have voted and why. This year was really interesting in that we were able to expand our sample to include Asian American, Pacific Islanders, and in addition to Native Americans. And so this poll was representative of 70 of the most competitive battleground House seats and representative of 6 states with competitive elections. So a little bit of background on Latinos and the environment. So there is this longstanding assumptions regarding the disinterest in environmental issues among working class and communities of color. More recent research suggests just the opposite, that Latinos care deeply about the environment and specifically about experiencing climate change. So in this study, we explore in depth these concerns and support for policy action. And so what I'll be presenting today is the Latino sample, which is a national sample of over 2,600 Latinos with a margin error of 1.9%. This was completed in five key states and over, like I said, 70 congressional districts. These interviews were conducted on landline cell phone with the registered voters in both English and Spanish at the respondent's discretion between November 1st and 5th. And so what's nice about having truly bilingual, bicultural interviewers is that people can go from English and Spanish within the same interview. The respondents in this sample are representative of extremely high propensity voters screened on their vote history, whether they were newly registered. But it's a point to note that, again, these folks were extremely likely to vote. The sample was randomly drawn from a representative statewide sample and then weighted to match census demographics. So some takeaways before we go into some of the items from the study is, as Mark alluded to, Latinos are disproportionately stating that they have personally experienced climate change or global warming. Latinos strongly believe that Congress should take steps to pass legislation to aggressively combat global warming or climate change, reduce smog and pollution, and pass clean energy legislation. Irrespective of partisanship, Latinos are more likely to support combating climate change and reducing smog and pollution. Like a lot of the other results in this election, Latina voters are more likely to support combating global warming, clean energy, and the reduction of clean energy. So let's talk a little bit about this experiencing of climate change. We asked in our survey, climate change is often associated with extreme weather patterns such as heat waves in some areas and frequent or intense storms or flooding. Have you ever experienced the effects of climate change in your state? What's interesting about this finding is that around 78% of those Latinos said that they have experienced climate change. Interestingly enough, over 65% have experienced climate change within the last five years. So whether it be Harvey, Irma, Michael, or red tide, which has been seen in the panhandle and parts of Florida, Latinos are experiencing climate change. And why this matters is what we know from the literature, particularly putting on my academic hat for a little bit, is that we know that personally experiencing climate change is positively associated with policy action. If we look across states, it's no wonder that Florida and Texas are states where Latinos were more likely to say that they've experienced climate change. Moreover, we also find that young Latino voters, those who took the interview in Spanish and those who were foreign-born, were most likely to say that they have experienced climate change. Now, this is one of the first times that we've ever been able to ask if you've experienced climate change and when, sort of in the last 2 years. So this is really important finding here. Turning over to how important do you think it is for the new Congress to take steps to pass legislation to aggressively combat global warming or climate change, we find that over 81% say it's very and extremely important that we aggressively combat global warming or climate change. What's really nice about this question is that we also asked this question with our partners here at EDF in 2016. So now we have baseline data to understand what are Latinos thinking across time? And for the first time, we're able to report that, in fact, over 11 percentage points have said that they extremely think it's important to aggressively combat global warming or climate change. And nobody has this data, so this is really exciting to be able to track and study Latinos over time. And the next question we ask, how important do you think it is for the new Congress to take steps to pass legislation? Again, looking at across states, we see that California, Florida, Nevada, Texas are all saying that it's extremely important that we try to address climate change. Now, turning over to reducing smog and air pollution, we asked respondents, how important do you think it is for the new Congress to take steps to reduce smog and air pollution? Here we find that over 84% of the respondents say that it's very important and extremely important that we take steps to reduce smog and air pollution. Again, we also have this item over time, and so, and what's really interesting is that within the extremely important response category, there is an increase of over 17 percentage points on saying that it's extremely important to take steps to reduce smog and air pollution. Now, looking across states, we see that states of Arizona, California, Florida, Texas are all stating that it's extremely important to reduce smog and air pollution. I know in my own state of Arizona, we have, for example, in Maricopa County, a program to retrofit people's chimneys to gas to try to reduce smog and air pollution. So that's some work we're seeing on the ground. And looking across the categories, demographic categories, you see that about the 30 to 49-year-old folks, those in college, moreover, we're also seeing really congruence around partisanship, where even 71% of Republicans think it is important to do work to reduce smog and air pollution. And the last item that we'll talk about today is about clean energy. So thinking about the elections for the U.S. Congress, are you more likely to support a candidate who wants to reduce carbon pollution and invest money in clean energy sources, or a candidate who wants to expand oil drilling, shale fracking, and coal mining? And there's high support for folks who want a candidate who wants to reduce carbon pollution. And so I think these findings really illustrate Latinos' policy preferences on the environment give a little bit of indication of the work that needs to be done in this space. I'll now turn it over to Felipe, who will introduce the next speaker. But thank you all for having me and for allowing me to present these findings.
Thank you very much, Ed. Our next speaker is Yoka Arditi Rocha. Let me provide spelling for her name. It's Y-O-C-A, Yoka. Arditi, as in Thomas, I-dash Rocha, R-O-C-H-A. Again, Yoka Arditi Rocha. She's executive director of the Tigo Institute located in Florida, where she works to drive climate action through community engagement and education, not only in Florida, but nationwide. Thank you very much for joining us, Yoka.
Thank you, Felipe. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. And thank you to Mark and Edward for their sharings. I'm excited to be here. As you all heard, the CLIO Institute has been working in Florida for about 9.5 years in what has been called Ground Zero for Sea Level Rise and Climate Change Impacts here in Miami, Florida. We work with frontline communities and to build climate literacy, and our purpose is to empower communities across all levels of society with the climate science education needed to demand the climate policies from our elected leaders, and we really highlight the urgency of climate actions while we're advocating for the sustainable solutions that we need for a more resilient future. It is not a surprise to us to see the results from this poll. It is clear that the majority of Latinos want action to protect our environment now and for future generations because we're feeling the impact of a warming climate. It is time for Congress to join states and cities and businesses and everyday Americans from across the country who are stepping up to reduce the carbon pollution that is destabilizing our climate, that is creating asthma for our kids, and to really look forward to develop and scale the clean energy solutions while encouraging innovation and protecting our shared environment. For us here in Florida, heat is a major and growing public health concern. The Sunshine State has one of the highest rates of heat-related hospitalizations in the nation. Heat is the leading weather-related killer in the United States. It has been for the past 30 years. And the problem is growing worse due to a changing climate. farm workers and construction workers pose the greatest risk. And in a recent study that was released about 2 weeks ago by the Farm Workers Association of Florida, found that comparison of recent temperature records with the safety recommendations from the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health found that Florida's outdoor workers routinely work in dangerous conditions. In each of the top 10 Florida counties by population of agriculture and construction workers, temperatures exceeded the safe limit for moderate labor at least 45% of the time. Here in Florida, Latinos are more likely to be working in those sectors and those be more affected by these high temperatures. In fact, many Latinos depend on the agricultural sector for their livelihoods in other ways. And extreme weather events can hamper our crop productivity, which can at the same time mean loss of jobs or loss of incomes for them, which at the same time impacts our food prices, which impacts our Latino communities and, quite frankly, all our Americans across the nation, but of course in a very disproportional manner to our low-income communities and communities of color. Just this year alone, Hurricane Michael has cost our Florida farmer more than $100 million. And as our warming temperatures continue to increase, and we have seen 17 of the 18 hottest years of record have occurred since 2001, we know climate change is exacerbating heat stress. And the lack of action from the EPA and this administration is exacerbating climate change. Our federal protections to our climate and to our air are under threat. The withdrawal from the climate accord, the repeal of the Clean Power Plan, the rolling back of the fuel economy standards, and repealing regulations that limit methane leakage are affecting us all. The reality is inaction is also costing a lot of money. Last year's extreme weather events cost the American economy more than $320 billion. Resources that can be going towards improving the education, health, and prosperity not only of Latinos, but all Americans. Accommodating polluters will undermine Florida's growing economy. Florida's solar energy industry has grown 287% between 2008 and 2017, and now the state ranks in the top 10 for solar and wind jobs. Florida also ranks fourth in the nation for energy efficiency jobs overall, employing over 100,000 Floridians, many of them Latinos, and producing enough wind and solar energy to power hundreds of thousands of homes. The reality is that states and cities and business here in Florida are moving forward with a clean energy economy. And overall, more Americans were employed directly by clean energy industry than the fossil fuel industry in 2016. Florida is on the front lines of climate change. We know that. And as our climate gets warmer, so will sea levels, threatening our homes, our business, and our lives. Sea level rise could force Florida to really redraw its map. Warmer waters are already worsening algal blooms and red tides, making us ill, killing marine life, and disrupting the state's number one economic driver, our tourism. Here in South Florida, we have been dubbed ground zero for sea level rise, but we may well be also called ground zero for closing the partisan gap. This report found that there is agreement across party lines for the current administration and Congress to pass legislation to aggressively combat climate change. I want to remind everyone that South Florida just lost a climate champion from the Republican Party in this past election, because here we have been listening loud and clear the signals Mother Earth has been sending us. It is clear to us that this is not a partisan issue and that we all need a stable climate to sustain our lives. A warming climate affects the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the food we eat, no matter which political party you belong to. It does, however, affect communities of color and Latinos very disproportionately, because even if we are all on the same boat called climate change, we are not on the same level. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Yoka. And our next and final speaker of today's call is Melissa Vargas, spelling it M-E-L-I-S-S-A Vargas, V-S in Victor, A-R-J-A-S. No relationship that we know of with Edward Vargas.
our Latino Decision presenter. She's a project manager at Political Affairs at the Environmental Defense Fund, and she's going to share with us some insights from a national and legislative perspective. Melissa, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Felipe and Latino Decisions, for this opportunity to join Yoka and Mark in speaking with you all today. I plan to use my time to briefly review a few implications for the new Congress. First, I think we can all agree it's important Congress know that Latino voters want to see action on climate change. As we saw and are continuing to see from Tuesday's election results, Latino voters are supporting candidates who believe that climate science is real and are committed to taking action. With that being said, the new Congress should make it a top priority to focus on combating climate change and preventing pollution at the federal level, as well as preventing the attacks from the Trump administration to the environment and public health. Now, this is extremely critical, as Yoka and Mark alluded to, as the administration's attacks are a threat to the health and safety of families and communities across our nation, especially our most vulnerable. The new Congress should use its leadership in committees to bring attention to the impact of frontline communities and to investigate the Trump administration's climate policy rollbacks. As we're seeing, Latino turnout has surged in the midterms. The Latino Hispanic community is indeed a voting bloc that is nearing 30 million. Although we don't yet have the exact numbers of Latinos that turned out, we do know there was nearly an 120% increase in absentee and early ballots cast by Latinos compared with 2014. Data presented by Latino Decisions reiterates the importance of climate action. Now, Edward just told us that over 81% of Latinos in key states and battleground races say it is very and extremely important that Congress take an aggressive stance on global warming or climate change. Now, this is a significant 10 percentage point increase from 2016. We saw this proven to be true in House race after House race, unfortunately, except in Florida, for Republicans who have been out of step with the prevailing scientific consensus on climate change, being replaced by Democrats committed to taking action. As Dems regained a majority in the House and key committees, Democrats will be able to use hearings to bring public attention to communities pummeled by storms, droughts, floods, and wildfires. Subpoena power can also be used to investigate President Trump's environmental policy rollbacks that have undermined science in their determinations of the needs for public health and climate protections, as we have seen them do with the Clean Power Plan and methane emission rules at the Environmental Protection Agency and the Bureau of Land Management. Now, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who is in line to regain the House speakership, has promised to revive the Select Committee on Climate Change that was eliminated back in 2010 when Republicans took control of the House. The purpose would be, quote, to prepare the way with evidence, end quote, for energy conservation and other climate change mitigation legislation. Now, as an organization that communicates with members of Congress, EDF's legislative priorities for the next 2 years include advocating for legislation to combat climate pollution, advocating for increased funding to federal agencies such as the EPA that are responsible for protecting public health and the environment, and defending against rollbacks to environmental protections. Now, I will end with a plea for Congress, the media, and environmental organizations and their allies to please continue to engage the Latino community around these issues. A recent study showed that many of us greatly underestimate the degree to which Latinos and people of color care about environmental issues. As a group, they are even more concerned about these issues than non-Hispanic white Americans. This is an extremely powerful opportunity for us to make a difference and save lives. We must all take action together. Thank you, Felipe.
Thank you very much, Melissa, for sharing these points. Now we will move into our Q&A sessions. Amy, our operator, will give us some instructions for those who want to ask some questions to the speakers.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press *1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we will take our first question from Laura Gomez with Arizona Mirror.
Hi, thank you for the question. I wonder if here in Arizona this November we had a proposition on clean energy and it didn't pass. I was wondering if you had any insight on how Latinos voted here in Arizona for that clean energy.
Hi, this is Edward Vargas. I'll take this question. Hi, thank you for that question. As you know, this clean energy bill was a very, very well-funded initiative on both ends. I think something was spent around $54 million poured into this particular fight. We don't ask specifically about that particular ballot initiative. Again, we wanted the data to be a little bit representative of the whole country. But as you know, and I would say that this wasn't the only state where we saw ballots that didn't pass. But and I think my response is that the complexities and politics of the clean energy transition, I think they're best navigated through the legislative process. And so I think that's the point about, you know, having legislative policies that deal with this. But we do know that, for example, I think this was the highest poured in terms of people putting money into a particular ballot initiative across the country. I think it was above anything else, even education in the state of Arizona.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, it is star one. And there are no further phone questions at this time, sir.
All right. We have, Chelsea, do we have any questions from the webinar?
There are no questions at this time.
I will, we took practice of creating some questions, so we will just ask a couple of questions just to make sure that we take advantage of this great panel. The question is, in your opinion, why do you think that people assume that Latinos aren't interested in environmental issues or climate change issues? And I think this is a question that I would like both Mark and Yoka to address.
Thanks, Felipe. As I mentioned in my statement earlier, we find that many Latinos are cultural conservationists, meaning it's not something that they learn academically or through media or through membership. It's something that's passed on from their grandparents, their aunts, their parents, that teaches them how to conserve as a way of life. Not as a policy priority. And that extends to how they believe that people should act, but how also their elected representatives should be caretakers of the planet as well. And so that activism on behalf of their land, their air, their water, but most importantly, on behalf of their children and their children's health and the health of their community is brought upon by this observance that we are the stewards of our land, and that we make sure that we pass that on from generation to generation.
Hi.
Sorry,
Felipe, I was going to just answer as well. I think also from our perspective, especially here in Florida, Latinos are very aware of all the impacts we're feeling because of our warming climate. We've been let's use the example of the last 2 years where Florida has been battered by extreme weather events, both last year with Hurricane Irma and this year with Hurricane Michael. We have some Latino communities that have suffered impacts from both those events back to back. We have Puerto Ricans who flew from Hurricane Maria that settled in the panhandle that are coping now with the catastrophic impacts of Hurricane Michael in the Pensacola area. We have been we're seeing our seas rise. We are seeing increased temperatures and heat waves. We're seeing outbreaks of mosquito-borne diseases like Zika. We had a scare 2 years ago, if everybody remember, right here in Miami. We're seeing some losses in some of our property values because of tidal flooding. We are seeing our workers, our farm workers, and our also our labor workers and workers in the service industry, which are predominantly being held by Latinos, being impacted because of extreme heat or because of the algal blooms, because right now the algal blooms are affecting our tourism, and many of our service workers are in the tourism sector are being affected by the loss and disruption. So we have been able to connect the dots with all of those impacts, and Latinos know the importance of the environment and how it's being felt in their homes. One legislative win from this particular election was the passing of Amendment 9 here in Florida, which was the banning of offshore drilling. Many people see that as the protection of our main economic driver, which is our tourism. So I think Latinos are definitely at the forefront and asking for much needed legislation at the Congress level.
Thank you very much, Yoka. I have a question for Melissa, Melissa Vargas. Melissa, based on the result that we saw today or that we learned today, what does this strong support for congressional action mean for the new Congress? Do you think this increased support from Latinos makes climate legislation more likely?
Thanks, Felipe. I certainly would hope so. I think it's really evident that Latinos are a strong voting bloc, and that the community really wants to see change happen. I think for the new Congress and especially new members of Congress, these Latino voters make up part of their constituency. And as the results from the midterms are, you know, proving, is that, you know, voters aren't accepting people to just talk or to provide roadblocks for climate solutions. People really are tired of all the talk and want to see action. So I think that this is a really great data that is going to be motivating new members and the new Congress to specifically take action on this.
Thank you, Melissa. I just have one more question for Dr. Vargas for Ed. Ed, from your perspective, why do you think these numbers change or have changed since our last exercises in 2016?
Yeah, great question. Thank you for that. You know, the one that changed the most is around smog and air pollution. And I think that just goes to the earlier point about the heating of sort of global warming and heating. I think that is, you know, we saw the most traction there. I think we're also seeing a lot of newer voters, and particularly young voters who have personally either, for example, if you're foreign born coming into the United States and you sort of experienced it, maybe at your ancestral homeland. So those are some of the reasons. I think we're also, as mentioned earlier, I think we do a lot of disservice and our voices not being people not understanding, our direct connection with the land. Particularly for those of us who grew up in the Southwest, we've always had this ancestral connection to our land. We're the ones who are working in the fields. We're the ones who, at all aspects of the environment. And as stewards of the environment, I think we're seeing, and also understanding what it means to have, be affected by global warming and global change, and the direct connection between environmental health threats and health disparities. I think that link has been kind of flown under the radar for a long time, and people are starting to make that connection.
Great. Thank you very much, Edward. Amy or Chelsea, are there any other questions either from the phone or from the webinar?
From the phone, as a reminder, it is star one to ask a question or if you have a comment for our speakers.
All right. Well, if you don't have any more questions, Joachim, Mark, Melissa, or Edward, do you want to, anyone, any missing point or any final message that we may have missed?
This is Arden. I'll just say something again about that the politics, I think, of clean energy and the new transition. I, like I said, I think it needs to be navigated through legislative process. I think we need to rethink a little bit about the type of ballots that we put on elections. And so that's just something in terms of strategy or thinking through future steps about how to move the needle on energy and particularly clean energy and or any other environmental action.
Thank you, Edward. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining today's call. Thank you to the speaker. Thank you, Edward, for this very insightful and needed research. Just as a reminder, a recording of the call will be circulated later today along with a press release and some key quotes from our participants. And the full deck and analysis of the poll will be available on the Latino Decisions website, I'm guessing in the next few hours. And if you have any further questions or you want to follow up individually with any of our speakers, please contact my colleague Chelsea Mervin at chelsea@benitezstrategies.com. Thank you very much. We will finish our call today. Have a wonderful end of the week. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk next time.
Thank you all.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.